endless men whose age will be not to defense of ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Well, I've done it again. I've not learned my lesson yet, and hopefully this time maybe I have learned my lesson. If you hear me say what the message will be next week, I want you to turn your radio off immediately or change to a different stream, let it go in one ear and out the other. But last week I said, and I believe I did say, Lord willing, I would begin a new series this week dealing with the word church, why it should not be in our English Bibles, and the damage done to the advancement of the kingdom of Christ because we do not correct ourselves and others when we use the word church. Well, it wasn't 10 minutes after the live broadcast last week when I began receiving emails regarding the three-minute audio that I played from the Jewish rabbi where he stated that Jesus, Yeshua, now he didn't say Yeshua, he said Jesus, but this renowned Jewish rabbi said that Jesus was not the Messiah because he did not fulfill the prophecies. So I had listeners write in and ask me to present further arguments against what the rabbi had to say. I had some others say, oh, you're really discontinuing the Matthew 24 series. They were hoping that would continue. So I'm hoping that you that have been listening to me understand exactly what this rabbi is saying, and that you're seeing what I've been saying about Jesus Yeshua, in that if you do not believe that Jesus Yeshua fulfilled the prophecies, and I mean all of them, then he could not have been the Messiah. I've pointed out many, many, many times since I started my ministry on Missouri Liberty Radio, if, for instance, you do not believe that the, quote, end of the world has already occurred, then Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah. Now, listen again. I want you to drop everything. I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to give you just a few seconds to go there. Hebrews chapter 9. Please, please follow along. Now, once you're at chapter 9, we're going to start in verse number 24. Okay, now we've done this many, many times, but we need to do it again. Hebrews chapter 9 will begin in verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. Now, who is this Christ? Remember, Christ is the description. It's the title. Who is the Christ of Hebrews 9:24? If you believe that Jesus, Yeshua, the one born of Mary, the one who the wise men from the east came to see, the one whom Nathanael said, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write, Jesus, the King of Israel. If this is what you believe, and I certainly hope that it is, then this Jesus, this Yeshua, is the Christ being spoken about in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. He is the subject of this text. Again, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. All right, at this point, when the book of Hebrews was written and delivered to its recipients, where was Jesus? Where was Yeshua the Christ? approximately 40 days after his triumphant conquering of the evil men who murdered him, his triumphant conquering and exposition of Rome as a mere mortally created empire that was brought down and made a laughingstock in the eyes of God because their execution failed to silence the one true king, approximately 40 days after this greatest show in the history of mankind, Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ, physically ascended into the heavens and was seated at the right hand of God, awaiting his soon revelation as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. I tell you, I hope that you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed saying it. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. His sacrifice was one of finality. The sacrifices under the old covenant in the old world were required daily and yearly. And he had set in motion an earth-shaking, world-changing process that would end hundreds of years of the sacrificing of animals for the remission of sins. Now, please read this with me and follow it as closely as possible. Verse 26. For then, all right, that has to be the for then. It's saying something prior to what we're talking about now, because right now he had already ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God. But then, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. For then must he, who is the he? It's Jesus, it's Yeshua. But now once, when? In the end of the world. In the end of the world. Say it to yourself over and over and over if you have to, until the reality and the awesome importance and relevance sinks in. In the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Do not resist this. Do not fight against the word of Almighty God. Jesus, Yeshua, offered himself as the final sacrifice in the end of the world. If you do not believe that the end of the world has already occurred, then Jesus was not the Messiah. I've titled today's message, Yeah, But. Well, I speak with people all the time who will say that they believe that Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah. But then they'll tell me that they believe that the temple must be rebuilt in Jerusalem. They tell me that Jesus will someday rule the world with a rod of iron. They tell me that the worldwide peace must yet be fulfilled. And they tell me that land promises to Israel must still be fulfilled. Listen, please hear what I am saying. If you believe that these things have not already been fulfilled, then you can tell me all day long that you believe that Jesus was the Messiah. You can tell me all day long that you know that the people in the Middle East are not God's chosen people. You can talk to me about the false Jews, the Khazars, the Edomites, the Ishmaelites, and whatever ite you want to discuss. But in reality, if you believe these things to be future, you are preaching the Jews' religion. And as hard as it may be to swallow, they are laughing at you all the way to their synagogue and back. I played Rabbi Singer's clip for you last week, and he said Jesus was not the Messiah because he did not fulfill these specific prophecies. The phrase, the end of the world, means the end of the old covenant age. The phrase, the last days, means the last days of the old covenant world. The end of the world also means the beginning of the new world. The last days of the old covenant world also means the first days of the new covenant world. If you do not understand these things, you're going to be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. The world as we know it today has been filled with the Jews' religion. And not only has it filled modern quote-unquote Christianity, but it is modern Christianity. And I'm telling you that modern Christianity resembles absolutely nothing of what Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Christ, created in the first century and what his apostles filled the entire world at that time with. And that was the old covenant was ending, the new covenant world was beginning, and not only is this Jesus whom ye crucified and hung on a tree, not only is he Savior, but he is Christ, he is King. And not only is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is the last of the kings that God allows for his creation. And that message is not preached in modern Christianity today. But I'll tell you absolutely that when it is preached, it is railed against by so-called Christians and causes gnashing of the teeth and violence against the preacher, just like it did in the first century. Doesn't have to be that way, but it is, because we have failed miserably because we have refused to believe the simple word of God. When one believes that the, quote, the end of the world is future, then all sorts of weird and crazy things are forced or twisted from the word. For instance, you've got people telling other folks that someone can be God's chosen people but reject Christ. You can have people telling others that it's God's plan to reinstitute animal sacrifices in order to fulfill Bible prophecy. You can have folks say that God ordained the ungodly to rule, to create statutes, and then that God commands that his people obey those statutes, which are totally contrary to his laws, statutes, and perfect will for his people. You can even have folks say that it is the ordination of God for fathers to kill their sons, uncles to kill their nephews, cousins to kill their cousins, Christians to kill other Christians, and that's perfectly fine with Yahweh if it's done in the name of the state. Incredible how ridiculously stupid we become and how ridiculously stupid we act when we fail to understand the clear teachings of the Word of God. Yeah, but Matthew 1:22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Matthew 2:15, and there was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son, Matthew 2:17. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, Matthew 2:23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene, Matthew 5. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. I did a little search on the internet to find out why the modern Jew does not sacrifice animals today. I think it's because they're hypocrites. But they're as much hypocrites today as they were then. And though I prefer compassion on my brothers who are listening to me, listen, if heaven and earth have not passed, then we should be continuing with the sacrifices also, because until heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Punctuation marks were not to be discarded until heaven and earth pass. Do you think the sacrificial system of the old covenant world was more important than punctuation marks? Well, of course they were. We don't sacrifice animals because heaven and earth did pass, and all was fulfilled. According to the Jewish website, mikanmamre.org, listen to why they don't sacrifice animals today. This is in their own words on their FAQ page. This is what you'll find. Here's a question. Do Jews offer sacrifices today? Answer, no. No Jews today are known to publicly offer any kind of animal sacrifice or offerings, nor have Jews offered sacrifices since the 2nd century CE. There are Orthodox Jews in Israel who practice the techniques of ritual sacrifice so that the knowledge will not be lost. A remembrance of the Pesach sacrifice was slaughtered in 5760 2000 CE within sight of the Temple Mount. But this is not at all the same thing as offering a sacrifice. Question number two. When did Jews stop offering sacrifices and why? Very interesting answer here. For the most part, the practice of sacrifice stopped in the year 70. When the Roman army destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, the place where sacrifices were offered. The practice was briefly resumed during the Jewish War of 132 to 135, but was ended permanently after that war was lost. There were also a few communities that continued sacrifices for a while after that time. We stopped offering sacrifices because we do not have a proper place to offer them. Well, of course not. Wow. Get it? Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice. The sacrifices came to an end at AD 70. Yes, exactly as Jesus, Yeshua, said that it would. Exactly as Daniel prophesied that it would. Which is exactly why Jesus, why Yeshua, told his followers prior to AD 70 to read and understand Daniel. That when they saw the daily sacrifice taken away, that was the end. Wow. The website there might as well continue preaching what I'm preaching. They're saying it and don't even realize what they're saying. They go on to say, the Torah specifically commands us not to offer sacrifices wherever we feel like it. We are only permitted to offer sacrifices in the place that God has chosen for that purpose. It would be a sin to offer sacrifices in any other place. The last place appointed by God for this purpose was the temple in Jerusalem. But the temple has been destroyed, and a mosque has been erected in the place where it stood. Until we observant Jews recapture the Temple Mount and rebuild the temple, we cannot offer sacrifices. Orthodox Jews believe that when the Mashiach comes, sacrifices will be renewed. Some of us think it better not to wait for him, but to be about the business of rebuilding the temple and reinstituting the sacrifices. In any event, it is permitted to bring all the regular order of sacrifices today on the Temple Mount at the place where the altar was, even now when the temple is no longer standing. End quote. This is what all the controversy in the world is about today. Did you see this subtle jab these Jews inserted here? The last place appointed by God for this purpose was the temple in Jerusalem. But the temple has been destroyed and a mosque has been erected in the place where it stood. Until we observant Jews recapture the Temple Mount and rebuild the temple, we cannot offer sacrifices. All right. If you believe that the heavens and the earth have not passed away, meaning the passing of the Old Covenant age is clearly described in Hebrews chapter 12. If you do not believe the end of the world has already occurred, if you do not believe Luke 21:22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. That all things which are written may be fulfilled. You're going to find your theology aligned far closer to that of the modern day Jew than that of what Christ gave when he walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew 12:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Matthew 13:14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Matthew 21:4. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Matthew 24:34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Matthew 26:54. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? Verse 56. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Matthew 27:9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. And they crucified him, this is verse 35, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 13, verse 4, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Mark 14, 49, I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Mark 15, 28, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Luke 4, 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Luke 21, 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Luke 22, 16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Luke 24, 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. John 12, 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? John 13, 18, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. John 15, 25, but this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. John 17, 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. John 18, verse 9, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die. John 19, 24, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. For these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Acts 1:16, men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Acts 3:18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Yeah, but Rabbi Tobias Singer, in the audio clip that I played for you last week, said that he knew that Jesus was not the Messiah because, the promise of the rebuilt temple from Ezekiel 37:47 has not been fulfilled. Now, just this week, I was teaching the kingdom of God, and professing Christians asked me about the fulfillment of the rebuilt temple. One of the yeah, but arguments they were giving me was that the temple had not been rebuilt. The temple had to be rebuilt in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Look with me, please, to John chapter 2. We're going to begin to answer the yeah, but of Rabbi Singer, which is the exact same yeah, but of the professing Christians. Now, again, I'm not trying to at all be tender to the rabbi, but I am trying to be tender to the professing Christian. My ministry is to the professing Christian. I'm trying to get them to see that when they say, yeah, but, to the words of Christ, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. In actuality, they are aligning themselves with the doctrine of the modern Jew. And as tenderly as I can say it, they err because they know not the scriptures. And because we know not the scriptures, we do not have the power associated with them. John chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto them, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Hey, looking for a rebuilt temple, Christian? It's the temple of Christ's body. Verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. That's your final temple. That's the last temple. That's the rebuilt temple that fulfilled Bible prophecy. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture. It doesn't say that they believed Christ. It doesn't say that they believed the words of Christ. It says that they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Jesus Christ raising from the dead was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the rebuilt temple. Well, here it comes now. But the promise in the Old Testament was for a physical temple. Really? Here is why I went to such great lengths to lay foundation for the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. If you take 2 Samuel chapter 7 and lay it out on the table all by itself, and fail to compare scripture to scripture. And I'm going to say this. If you take Old Testament prophecies and you refuse to believe the simple words of Christ, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. If you are not operating under the stringent guideline that the prophecies were fulfilled in Christ, then you're just not going to get it. Plain as that. The key of David, that the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant was the resurrection of Christ. Acts chapter 2 says it as plain as it possibly can be said. If you try to go through the door without the key, then you're just like a robber who breaks down a door without the authority to do so. You may be reading the word. You may even be getting something from the word. But ultimately, whatever warmth that you may receive from the word is strange fire. It warms, sure does. It absolutely warms, but God calls it strange fire. And rather than purify and make clean, it brings death and destruction. So just like the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant was a spiritual fulfillment that occurred with the resurrection of Christ, so too the temple fulfillment was fulfilled by Christ. He said as plain as day, tear this temple down and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And he was talking about himself. The requirement for a future physical temple comes from the same people that killed Jesus. Misunderstanding, either purposely by deception or otherwise, puts you in a very precarious situation. Not understanding what Christ meant when he clearly said he would destroy the temple and then rebuild it again in 3 days causes all kinds of problems. The temple in the New Covenant world is not a physical temple. I brought out many passages of scripture in preceding weeks where Christ himself said the day would come, and it was coming soon, he said. He was talking present tense, when men would not be worshiping in the temple or in Jerusalem. The temple in the New Covenant world is a temple not made with hands. But then we turn right around and say that Ezekiel 37 through 47 is yet to be fulfilled, which is exactly what the Jews say in their argument that Jesus, Yeshua, was not the Messiah. It's exactly the same thing that they say. Today, if you still believe that a physical temple in Jerusalem is yet to be built in fulfillment of Bible prophecy, I'm telling you that you're aligning yourself with the Jews who rejected Jesus, who rejected Yeshua over 2,000 years ago, and they're rejecting him still today. If this is where your theology has brought you, then I'm telling you it's way past time for reevaluation. If you're still holding on to Bible prophecy yet to be fulfilled, then Jesus, according to the Jews' own words in the year 2019, Jesus Yeshua was not the Messiah. Another major point of Tobias Singer's argument against Jesus, against Yeshua being the Messiah, was that the resurrection of the dead, according to Daniel chapter 12, has not occurred. Now, if you've not heard my messages on Revelation chapter 20, specifically that the resurrection of the dead did occur, then please just go back and listen again. For sake of time today, I'm not going to go back over it again. I spent many weeks dealing with this. But Singer specifically refers to Daniel 12:2 in that the resurrection of the dead has never occurred. And because of that, Jesus was not the Messiah. That's what the rabbi said. That's not what I'm telling you. That's what the rabbi said with his own words. That Daniel chapter 12 has never occurred. So because of that, Jesus was not the Messiah. Now, if you believe the same thing, then what I'm telling you is that you are aligning your theology with that of the modern Jew who does not believe that Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah. Now, I looked again at a Jewish Bible, and I didn't find a whole lot of difference between Daniel chapter 12 than what's in the KJV. So I didn't find anything in there that this Rabbi Singer would be referring to that would be different than what we would look at if we were reading, say, from the KJV or from the Geneva. So let's look here for just a few minutes. Daniel chapter 12. According to Rabbi Tobias Singer, he knows that Jesus, that Yeshua, was not the Messiah because the resurrection of the dead described in Daniel chapter 12 has not occurred. Verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And I believe that this is a direct reference to Christ. We'll talk about that at a later time. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, either keep your finger here in Daniel chapter 12 and turn to Matthew chapter 24, or listen as I read Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, if we're honest with the scriptures, we should be able to agree that what Daniel was talking about and what Christ was talking about, Jesus, Yeshua, what he was talking about, they are one and the same. They're the same almost word for word from what we read from Daniel and what we just read from the book of Matthew. Back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Seal the book until the time of the end. The word seal here means to close it up. The text says, seal it, Daniel. Close it, Daniel, even until the time of the end. Is there anything in the text that would cause us to lean towards a thinking that the resurrecting of the dead, or sleeping as it says, would occur after the time of the end? Or was it occurring in the time of the end? Is this something that takes place at the time of the end? I believe, again, if we honestly look at this text without preconceived ideas and agendas, we conclude that this resurrecting of the dead, both what appears to be believers and unbelievers, is coincident with the time of the end. I don't see how we can possibly see it any other way. Back to Matthew 24:15. This is what Jesus, Yeshua, said to his disciples over 2,000 years ago. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. He says to his disciples, you are going to see this happen. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, let me say this. I've had people say to me that what Yeshua was saying was that the people who would be seeing this, okay, that's not what the text says. The text says that this is Jesus to his disciples over 2,000 years ago. When you, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation, it is as clear can be that this is who he's talking to. You do not have the authority to say that, well, he's saying that the people that actually see this are the ones he's talking to. That's not what the text says. Matthew 24:1-3 makes it very clear who he's talking to. He is talking to his disciples over 2,000 years ago, and he tells them, you, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. It's interesting to me that that little section right there, that phrase right there, is put in parentheses, and I believe it's there for emphasis. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Jesus, Yeshua, is telling him to read, and not just read Daniel, but read it and understand it. This is as fundamental truth as 2 + 2 = 4. Read Daniel, understand Daniel. How could they possibly understand the book of Daniel if the book had not been unsealed? If the book was still closed, how could they read it, let alone understand it? It's simple. The book was unsealed. The book was opened. Therefore, it could be understood. This is why just a few verses later, Christ tells his disciples over 2,000 years ago, nearly word for word, about that coming tribulation period, using nearly word for word what was written in the book of Daniel. I'm telling you that this Jesus, this Yeshua, was the Messiah. But greater than the fact that he was the Messiah is that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And not only is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's the last of the kings that God allows for his creation. And it is way past time that those of us who claim him as Christ, that we stop preaching the false Jews religion that denies this Jesus, whom they crucified and hung on a tree. This same Jesus hath God made both Savior and Lord. He's King right now. The Jews' religion is one that puts the kingdom of God in the future. If the kingdom of God is future, then what remains is the governments of men. The governments of men create to themselves statutes, which are better termed statues. And they operate for one reason and for one reason only. And it's to prevent people from finding the kingdom of God and to prevent people from entering the kingdom of God. And as long as we align ourselves with the Jews' religion, we're going to be part of a systematic scheme that constantly wars against the kingdom of Christ, which is the only means for freedom, joy, and happiness and peace for men inhabiting God's creation. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 5. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the one on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these waters? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Why couldn't Daniel understand? I heard, but I understood not. The very writer of the book couldn't understand what he'd been told to write. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now, someone please explain to me, if the first century was not the time of the end, if the first century was not the end of the world, if the first century was not the last days, then why was Jesus, Yeshua, telling his disciples to read and understand Daniel? If those things were not so, then we've got to develop a whole scheme of theology that explains these things away. And this is exactly what the Jews' religion has done. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Well, that means the Jewish people shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And 1948, when Israel became a state once again, that's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Wow. Thus, it is now possible for a whole group of people to deny that Jesus, that Yeshua was the Messiah, and yet still be called God's chosen people. Just simply amazing to me. Then we've got to deny the numerous other passages written that say if a man does not admit that Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Christ, came in the flesh and was the Messiah, the scripture says, let him be accursed. Have no company with this man. Then go ahead and be a proud tax-paying citizen of a country that gives these people literally billions and billions of dollars and elect people like Ted Cruz who say, quote, if you do not stand with Israel, then I will not stand with you. Folks, he prefers Israelis, not Israelites of the Bible. He prefers Israelis and makes it very clear that those people are preferred over even the people who supposedly elected him. Well, how crazy is that? Daniel chapter 12, verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. How were they purified? Well, better be because they met Christ. Better be because they met Jesus. We laid foundation that there were wise men in the time of the end. They came from the east after seeing his star. They came looking for the king. And now back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Makes me wonder if Daniel wasn't one of those that were resurrected at the time of the crucifixion of Christ. Very well could have been. In recent messages, we contrasted the words to Daniel in that he was specifically told to seal it up, close up this book until the time of the end. It was approximately 490 years from the time of the writing of the book of Daniel until we see that it had been opened, because the time of the end was the first century to which Christ was sent to. We contrasted these words to the words of John in Revelation chapter 22, where John was told specifically not. He was told not to seal up his book. Why? Because the time is at hand. So supposedly if the book of Revelation is yet to be fulfilled and over 2,000 years has gone by, well, it doesn't make any sense. Daniel's book was only 490 years before it was unsealed at the time of the end. And then the book of Revelation, the angel says, don't seal your book because the time is at hand. Well, I'm telling you today that when Christ said in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. I wonder if once we realize that all things written from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms were concerning Christ had been fulfilled, is it possible that then that we might have our understanding opened up to us? I believe so, because as I've told you before, I believe that's the key of David. I believe that's the key that unlocks the scriptures to us. Understanding the reality of the kingdom of Christ as a present day reality right now, right today. If we don't believe and teach that the kingdom of God is right now, I don't know how in the world we can understand the scriptures. Christ said as plain as he could have said it, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If we've been taught and believe that it's future, how can we possibly understand things when Christ said to seek it first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Back to Luke 24, verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I'm telling you that he fulfilled the prophecies. He fulfilled the words of Moses. All the prophecies were fulfilled in Christ. He that hath eyes to see and ears to hear, let him understand. He fulfilled the Davidic covenant. He fulfilled the prophecies of Isaiah. Not just some of them, all of them. He fulfilled the prophecies of Ezekiel. Not just some of them, all of them. He that hath eyes to see and ears to hear, understand the scriptures. They worshipped him in Luke 24. If he was not the Messiah, they made the biggest error in the history of mankind. They were eyewitnesses to this Jesus, to this Yeshua. And I'll assure you that in fulfillment of Isaiah 11, contrary to the teachings of Tobias Singer, these few men filled the whole earth with the knowledge of God, beginning at Jerusalem and then among all the nations. Then when the Apostle Paul came onto the scene, he made it very clear that the fulfillment of Isaiah 11 was fulfilled in Christ. Look with me very quickly to Isaiah chapter 11. This is another one of the passages that the rabbi Tobias Singer referred to in saying that because this was not fulfilled, Jesus was not the Messiah. Yeshua was not the Messiah. And I'm telling you today that if you preach, if you teach that Isaiah chapter 11 has not been fulfilled, you are aligning yourself with the modern Jew who rejects Jesus Christ, Yeshua, as Messiah, is exactly what you're doing. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And I'm telling you again, if you say this has not been fulfilled, then you are saying exactly what the rabbi Tobias Singer said, in that Jesus, Yeshua, that came over 2,000 years ago, was not the Messiah. But I'm telling you that Isaiah chapter 11 has already been fulfilled. Verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the heap of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice tin. They shall not hurt nor destroy at all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. And in that day, now listen, and in that day, in what day? In the day that all these prophecies that Isaiah just said would happen. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now, look with me, please, to Romans chapter 15. Once again, friends, listen to me. If you're saying that Isaiah 11 has never been fulfilled, you are preaching the Jews' religion, is what you're preaching. You're preaching, you're warring against Christ. You're warring against Jesus, Yeshua, the very Son of God. This is really, really serious business that we understand this. Look with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse number 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Now listen, watch this very, very closely. Verse 12. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 11, word for word, of what Paul was saying, and he's saying that it was fulfilled in Christ. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, if you can't see Isaiah chapter 11 fulfilled in Romans chapter 15, I don't know what else can be shown to you. Paul quotes Isaiah 11 word for word, referencing the current events taking place right then and right there. There are no yeah buts. Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah, and he was the Messiah because all the prophecies were fulfilled in the first century. The Word of God says so, if we'll just accept them. Earlier on, I said that because we fail to yield to the Scriptures, but rather resist and reject, because we require physical fulfillments to spiritual prophecies, the results therefrom can and will lead to destruction and to death. And how many young men have died in, as John Hagee said, in defense of Israel? Well, the Jews' religion and that of Judeo-Christianity, in other words, black, white, night, day, beginning, end, stop, go, throw in whatever total opposite you want to insert there. But wars and death and destruction has been raging because the Jews want to rebuild a temple that is sitting on a piece of ground currently occupied by a mosque. And the U.S. is in full support of this. But believe me, I'm not defending the fact that there's a mosque there. There shouldn't be a mosque there any more than there should be a temple there. Both of them operate in rebellion to the one true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I'm a little surprised that the rabbi Singer didn't use land promises to Israel in support of his denial of Jesus, Yeshua, as the Messiah. But I guess he really can't do that because they possess some or maybe even most of the land that they claim belongs to them as a promise from God. But I've often asked professing Christians when they talk to me about Bible prophecy being fulfilled today, when they ask me about the land promises to Abraham, I've often asked them why they believe in a future fulfillment of land promises. And they then will point to the fact that the Israelis became a nation again in 1948 as fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And this is because of what C.I. Scofield made popular with the help of Andrew Carnegie, Cecil Rhodes, Oxford University, and all of that began just after the turn of the 1900s. If you were to read the notes of the Scofield Bible from Matthew chapter 24, and we've already done this, but if you read his notes, you'll see that he says that the, quote, promises to Israel were, quote, being wonderfully fulfilled to this day. He uses this to say that the words of Christ in Matthew 24:34, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. He says, we know that the word generation here is not genea, which means a specific time period, but rather the nation or family of Israel, as in the Jews, which currently reside in the Middle East. Now, I need to clarify that just a little bit. He does say that the word is genea, which it is. But as I've told you before, he gives the definition for the word genea. He gives the definition of genos, which is totally different from genea. But he says that they were in the beginning stages in the early 1900s of wonderful fulfillment of Israel right before their very eyes. In closing today, I want you to look with me to Joshua chapter 21. Let's read the first couple of verses, then we'll skip down to the end of the chapter. This is Joshua chapter 21 and verse number 1. Then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, Yahweh commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. And the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of Yahweh these cities and their suburbs. Then the text goes on into great detail for the next 40 or so verses in describing who got what land. Then in verse 43, here's what the word of God says. Actually, verse 42. These cities were every one with their suburbs round about them. Thus were all these cities. Now, verse 43. And Yahweh gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And Yahweh gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. Yahweh delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which Yahweh had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Does Yahweh owe anyone any land in order to fulfill the land promises that Yahweh made with the fathers of the Israelites? Does this not say just as plainly as it can be said that it all came to pass? Friends, are we guilty of preaching the Jews' religion by saying that God is yet to fulfill his word or his prophecies? I believe it to be so. And it's sad because there are people out there who I believe truly love Yahweh, they truly love the Lord, and they truly want to follow his Christ. But folks, the ignorant worship of God does not work in the new covenant world. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we realize that all the prophecies were fulfilled in Christ, were fulfilled with Jesus, with Yeshua, then we'll understand that the kingdom of God is a present day reality. When we realize that the kingdom of God is a present day reality, it will cause our lives to conform to that kingdom. When that happens, change, positive change for the kingdom of Christ will and can occur in a very short period of time. But I believe the reason that many will continue to resist the kingdom is because down deep, they really do not believe that Jesus, Yeshua, was the Messiah. I showed you right from the words of the Jews that they believe that Jesus was not the Messiah because the prophecies have not been fulfilled. And I still have to think that if people believe that the prophecies have not been fulfilled, then they have aligned themselves with the Jews' religion. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled. Or I'm sorry, it says that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their understanding. When they understood that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning him, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. As Yahweh leads, Lord willing, we'll be back next week preaching the kingship of Christ and the kingdom of God.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.